Welcome. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my great privilege to serve this welcoming and warm congregation. And I want to let every person who's here know that you're really welcome here today. Each of you is a child of the universe, no matter who you love, no matter your gender expression or no gender expression, no matter the color of your skin or the nature of your beliefs. You are welcome here whether you have really enjoyed this darkness that comes and holds us, or if you just want to push it away and call in the sun. You are welcome here. However you feel this morning, whether your heart is heavy or whether you come with joy, whether you come alone or you come with others. Everyone is welcome. And that includes everybody who's online or watching the recorded service. And I just want to let you know that we have coffee service after the service downstairs where people can get together and talk to one another. There's also a coffee service online. That link was in your order of service this morning, and you're welcome to join on there. And I want to let everybody know that one of the great challenges of our community is making sure everybody knows all the fabulous things that are happening. And we have a lot of things lined up for the holidays this year. So I really recommend that you look at your e-blast, read it all the way through. At the bottom of that is something called announcements, and it has many, many more things than are in your e-blast. So I really recommend that if you want to know what's happening, that you open those emails and you read them. So you may rise and greet one another. Please greet people you don't know with a warm, warm welcome. So I would like to invite Eleonora forward to light our chalice. It is her birthday. So we light the chalice, the symbol of our faith, for the mystery that holds each and every one of us. It causes us to have birthdays and other days. So we will now say our affirmation, and I wanted to let you know that we've changed the words just slightly in the last line. Someone recommended that one of the things that's really hard for all of us is to love ourselves as much as we love others. So we will say our affirmation now. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and each other.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Spencer Herman. My pronouns are he and him. Our opening reading is from Rebecca Savage. As people of faith and wonder, we welcome in the delight of mystery, the awe of unfolding adventures, the expansiveness of what it takes to behold mystery as a gift to the imagination. Too often we relax into routines, find comfort in old habits, and give in to the confines of our lives. In this time of together, may our hearts be nudged open to what may be. May our spirits be wrapped in curiosity to seek mystery and welcome her in. May our time together this day remind us to stay open, stay inquisitive of what we do not yet understand, and be inspired to stretch ourselves into new ways of being. Welcome mystery. Welcome into our hearts and our time together.
Spirit of life. Spirit of life, come unto me, sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion, glow wind, rise in the sea, move in the hand, giving life the shape of justice. Roots hold me close, wings set me free. Spirit of life, come to me, come to me.
So we have a story this morning. It's not the same story that's in your order of service, but it's called the Everything Seed. The Everything Seed, the story of beginnings. I need the actual book. Have you ever watched a seed grow? Have you ever noticed how it begins so small, so still, so quiet, like a gift waiting to be opened? And how slowly it wakes up, begins to unfold, growing into something larger and larger and larger. Then you know what comes from a seed usually ends up looking very little like the seed it came from, which is also true of the very first seed. Once long, long ago, way back before the beginning, so long ago, there was no such thing as time because there was no one there to count it. Everywhere was a huge, deep, mysterious place, like something waiting to happen. There were no stars, no sun or moon. There was no place like Earth, not a drop of water or a single tree or a rock or a flower, and no living beings anywhere. Uh-oh. But in that deep waiting space was hidden the tiniest point of something, no bigger than a seed. It was not a flower seed. It was not an elm tree seed. It was not a seed of corn, although those things were included in the seed. You might call it the everything seed, because that is what it became. No one knows where that first seed came from, or how it was planted, or how it knew in the way you only know, or that only seeds seem to know, how long to wait for just the right moment to sprout and grow. But all at once, this tiny seed, cradled and nourished in the rich soil of space, woke up, broke open, and began to unfold, unfolding, unfolding, and blossoming forth into an enormous blazing ball of bright, bright light, like a grandmother's sun. And the universe was born. Out fluttered the galaxies like a storm of snowflakes swirling and gathering into the brightest, most blinding, beautiful cloud of stars. And out of those star clouds whirled our own star, the one we call the sun and our earth, and all around spinning planets we have learned how to name. And this is the secret of that tiny seed. You and I were there at the very beginning. Just as the idea for each leaf on a big oak tree lies hidden inside an acorn, we were there with all the stars and the planets and all the rocks and the oceans and plants and animals and people. Everything that is now, ever was, or ever will be, was inside that first tiny seed. So whenever you hold a seed in your hand and wonder what it could become? Imagine how you and all that is here once came from the tiniest speck of an everything seed, before it sprouted and grew long, long ago in the way back beginning of time. Now, if this were an ordinary story, it would end right here. But this story of the universe keeps unfolding. What once began in a blazing blossom of light continues every day. New stars sprout open in the deep soil of space. Seeds of many kinds are scattered all over the earth. To help us remember, many seeds to help us remember. And new people are born every day with the spark of that first light still alive and burning deep inside, waiting, like the everything seed, to shine in ways that are yet to be known. We will now sing our children to their classes.
This is the moment in our service when we pause to reflect on the gifts we have received from this abundant earth and from this incredibly generous and warm community. To consider what it is that we have given and what it is that we are grateful for. During the musical interlude, please consider the gifts you have to offer our WOOF community, whether it be financial support or the special gift of your time or talent. Know that we are grateful for your offering. And if the ushers could please come forward, we will gratefully receive this morning's offerings. Thank you all. Please join me in our affirmation of giving and gratitude. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so we can learn from the generosity of others.
So our lives are full of so much possibilities of joy. There's the birth of new children. There's the rain that falls, the food that comes growing from the earth that feeds us. And we are blessed in this community to be able to hold and remember all the things that are wonderful in life. Life is also full of incredibly deep pain. There's loss. There's war. There's relationships that break. There's betrayal. And in this community, we hold that pain for each other as well. So I would like to invite you forward and to place a stone in the water for your joy or for your sorrow. If you'd like to speak your joy and sorrow in a sentence, I will have the microphone and you're welcome to speak. If you'd just like to do that silently and let the water receive the holding of this community, that is welcome as well. You may have a moment of silence, and as the music begins, come forward as you wish.
Stone for Evin Axe, who has just had very successful surgery.
For my wife Maria, who passed away last month.
Hold all these joys and sorrows in our heart, as well as those that remain unspoken in our hearts.
And last week, it was my privilege to be part of the All Poetry service, where we built together a poem, a WOOF community poem, of gratitude and giving. So as we enter our quiet time of reflection and meditation this morning, I'm going to share the poem with you. This is how it came together, with lines from lots of other poems from lots of other poets, many of them right here at WOOF. Copies are available for you in the foyer as you leave. The poem is called Resting in the Grace of the World. Autumn is upon us, and the world sparkles. Leaves turn and twist and fall. Brick and moss hold each other softly, and a songbird prays a litany of the day. Let the warmth of the sun heal us wherever we are broken. This is the sun's birthday, the birthday of life, of love, of wings. Now the ears of my ears awake and the eyes of my eyes are opened. Now that you know that anything could happen, what hands will you hold? Whose heart will beat inside you? We laugh, we cry, we live, we die. Dancing along in the madness, we can sing for a long, long time. Hold life like a face between your palms. Not just life, but your life. Your very temporary life. And say, yes, I will love you. Come into the peace of wild things. I like to proclaim my gratitude before I even get out of bed. Giving has many faces, and they are rich who own the day. Begin it well and serenely, with too high a spirit to be cumbered with your old nonsense. What can the weatherman tell me that I don't already know? From you I receive, to you I give. Together we share, and from this we live. You gave me blue, and I gave you yellow. Together we made simple green. Together we made something greater from the difference. The hum of hello, a door flung open, a heart held open to another. A nod of, I see you. You are not alone. But why do we want the future to know more about us, to learn from our lives? With nimbleness of tongue, learn the children's language. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Keep your heart open to us. Delight in exploration and discovery. Another layer. Keep it warm in the oven. The world you want may not be the world you know. There's wind and rain, and so I sweep the leaves again. Autumn is within us, and darkness descends in the afternoon. Renewed by the drizzle, the showers, and the downpour. Anything could happen. Things that never happened before. Come into the presence of along which secret aqueduct, O water, are you coming to me? Water of a new life that I have never drunk? In the deep cup of the hour of silence, what did you notice? What did you hear? The uproar of mice in the empty house, the clam clamped down, or the bat on the wind in the dark. The upswing, the downpour, life outside your own story. The gods are shaking us from our sleep, where last night I dreamt, bendita ilusión, I had a beehive here inside my heart, and the golden bees were making white combs and sweet honey from my old failures. Come to your life like a warrior. Take a breath. Ignore the news. Plant the bulbs. Anything can happen. Lift this new glimpse that you found. Carry into evening all that you want from most this amazing day.
And hymn number 398 uses the marvelous words of William Blake. Please stand. Betsy will play it once, and we'll sing it through twice because it's so short.
And a heaven. wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour. To see the world in a grain of sand, and a heaven in a wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour.
We will now invite our musicians forward for Let the Mystery Be.
Some say when you're gone forever, and some say you're gonna come back. Some say you rest in the arms of the Savior, in sinful ways you lack. Some say you're coming back in a garden, bunch of carrots and little sweet peas. I think I'll just let the mystery be.
Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from.
Yeah.
Everybody is wondering out where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But I don't know for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be.
Some say we're going to a place called glory, and I ain't saying that ain't a fact. But I heard that I'm on the road to purgatory, and I don't like the sound of that. I believe in love, and I live my life accordingly. But I choose to let the mystery be.
Everybody's wondering what and where. Same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be.
I think I'll just let the mystery be. I think I'll just let the mystery be.
I think I'll just let the mystery be.
I think I'll just
let the mystery be.
beneath the masks, beneath the names, beneath ideals, beneath the shoulds, is a thrumming, ecstatic, atomic swirl, unseen and omnipresent, inescapable and holy, a divine blurring of being, a realm of charge and energy. Most of it, empty space. Sometimes, I remember this. Perhaps walking in the woods or standing in the midst of a city's whirl. Perhaps working in the kitchen or singing in a choir. I remember who we really are. Remember not with mind but with being. And I'm lost in it. Found in it. Alive in the cloud of it. Astonished with the sacred design of it. Elegant soup of it. Elemental swirl of it all. How is it that I sometimes see only woman, man, cottonwood, spider, self, other, other, other? We walk this journey of separation together. Oh, being who is lonely, remember.
Our theme this month is mystery. And I think this is a wonderful theme for the month of the winter holidays. Hanukkah begins this week and celebrates the mystery of a lamp continuing to burn for 8 days and 8 nights, even though there was only oil enough for one night. The story asks us to remember the mysterious ways that hope and possibility can arise when all feels lost. Bodhi Day, the celebration of Buddha's enlightenment, is this coming Friday, December 8th. It reminds us of the mystery that humans can learn to open themselves to the and experience the interconnected and loving universe. On December 21st, we celebrate the winter solstice, when the earth shifts on its axis and we get more sun, a celebration of darkness becoming light. The why of this is not a mystery. We know the mechanism. Ancient people tracked this moment precisely. Still, it hearkens to mystery that the world is light and dark. Our bodies are perfectly balanced to live in this beating rhythm day in and day out, through the spinning, shifting seasons. It reminds us also of the mysterious way the human heart can shift from suffering to joy, or from times of rest into times of action. On December 25th, we celebrate Christmas and the mystery of newborn babies, so alive, pulling us like magnets with love. And we also celebrate the mysterious hope that swells up in people, that perhaps love, care, goodness, and peace can indeed rule the world. I believe the truth of existence itself is more mysterious than we can ever hope to untangle, and more awesome and wondrous than our human bodies and minds can ever hope to experience or comprehend. But we want to, and we try. People have this drive to know more and understand more. We want to know the true, large cosmic story, as well as all the tiny little details. We are full in on knowing, gulping in all we can, struggling to understand this existence we are a part of. Sometimes, however, unfortunately, we get tangled up in arrogance. We begin to believe we do know, or know enough. Then we act on that, and we make a big mess. Our lack of humility can be disastrous, i.e. climate change. We want to wrestle this thing called existence into something manageable and controllable. Maybe then, we seem to believe, we can end all these uncomfortable aspects of being alive. Maybe we can extend our lives, end illness, and always be comfortable, satisfied, and happy. But it can never be. The reasons for the universe and how it works are necessarily forever beyond us. We are like fish in water. A fish will never understand the Milky Way or the roundness of the earth or music or laughter. Fish have the sensory and brain capacity to survive in the water. They don't experience beyond what they have evolved to experience. We have the sensory and brain capacity that evolved so that we could survive on this earth. There's no reason to believe we evolved to understand beyond what survival required for us. We know that there are sounds we cannot hear, colors we cannot see, and scents we cannot smell. Right here, right now, in this room, are colors and sounds and scents we cannot sense. Reality is forever beyond us. Sure, humans have created instruments to sense some of what we cannot see, hear, or smell. But what about that goes on energetically in ways we don't have the instruments to detect, or even the imaginations to imagine? It seems rather probable, even, that there's quite a bit of reality going on we can't even engage with ever or ever imagine. What we did get in the being alive lottery of qualities is pretty remarkable, though, seriously. We have a language, we have art, music, laughter. We got the drive to know and the drive to create. We have the ability to organize with glorious purpose. We can imagine. Why do we have all this grand capacity? Why do we need it to survive and live? I could spin you a story based on all that I've read about why this is true and try to explain it. And I'm sure there are many stories, and you have them as well, as why this is true. And maybe some of the stories we've come up with are even true. When we consider it, though, it is an amazing surprise to find ourselves as human beings with all the capacity to do and create and understand, even though it is undoubtedly not truth with a capital T. So much is mysterious about the circumstances we find ourselves in, starting with the universe itself. And just the fact that anything exists at all, I mean, why would it? Why does it hold together? Why did it start to hold together? Why is there life? How did it begin? Why is it that the behavior of the tiniest forms of energy matter are completely, utterly counterintuitive to our experience of living? How can two particles far, far, far from each other influence each other? How can something only become when it is seen? How can we all be at the atomic level, just whirling energy? I sometimes read certain kinds of astronomy news or new theories of physics, and I can almost grasp it, but it's like threading a very small needle with a frayed thread. I can almost get that thread in, but I just can't quite. There is just something about how the universe works, especially at a quantum level, that others can understand, but just feels mysterious to me. I find this so interesting. We all have the basic capacity to sense and understand what is happening in any moment or in a larger context. But there seems to be people who can live at the edge of that, pushing the human capacity to understand what is beyond us. In fact, all of us, each of us, perceive and notice different aspects of life. based on our natural tendencies, our experiences, culture, and language we speak. Not long ago, scientists created instruments that can sense gravitational waves from 1.2 billion light years away. That is pretty exceptional. Most of us would have a difficult time grappling with the exact nature of what a gravitational wave even is, or what 1.2 billion light years even means in terms of distance. And nearly all of us would have no idea how to measure such a thing from the distance to Earth. But there are people living with this exceptional reality of universe in their being so that they can act upon it. I'm also really drawn to the mystery as pointed to by the mystics. These are people who have the capacity to connect to a reality that is all-encompassing and creates a conviction of intense belonging or love. Mystics have existed in human cultures across millennia, physical distance, and religious belief. While the mystics almost uniformly say the experience is not describable in language, many have tried. Mystics use the language of their religious traditions to express what they have experienced. The mystics of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, for example, describe the experience as a connection to a personal God, while Buddhists, who do not believe in an entity called God, speak of the experience of being one with an ultimate reality. Even with these differences in expression, however, mystics across cultures seem to be describing the same or very similar experiences. As religious historian Karen Armstrong describes it, all encounter a reality in the depths of the self that is paradoxically other and irrevocably separate from us. All emphasize that this ultimate reality, which gives meaning and value to human life, is ineffable, transcending our limited words and concepts. Unitarian Ralph Waldo Emerson had mystical experiences and described one this way. In the woods, standing on bare ground, my head bathed by blithe air and uplifted into infinite space, all mean egotism vanishes. I become a transparent eyeball. I am nothing. I see all. The currents of the universal being are circulate through me. I am part and parcel of God. 20th century mystic Thomas Merton wrote of his revelation. In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization I loved all these people. That they were mine and I was there, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, of spurious self-isolation in a special world, the world of renunciation and supposed holiness. The sense of liberation from an illusionary difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. I have the immense joy of being man, a member of a race in which God himself became incarnate. As if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me, now I realize what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this, but it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around, shining like the sun. There's an argument about whether we can all be mystics or not, or if certain people are born with the capacity for these kinds of experience, and most people are not. We know that experiences similar to those by the mystics happen to people in near-death experiences or on psychedelic mushrooms. Humans have been consuming such mushrooms across continents, they now know, for millennia. There's pictures on the cave walls, actually. And scientists are asking just why it is we have a receptor for psychedelics in our brains. So maybe we are made for such experiences. And again, who knows why? I suspect that the propensity to mystic experience without death or mushrooms is a bit like understanding quantum physics or theoretical astronomy. Lots of us can grasp some of that, especially if we work really hard at it. But those who work at the depths of such theories, experiments, and mathematics probably need minds inclined towards such things. Much like many of us can appreciate music or sing or play an instrument even, but there are people whose grasp of music is deeper and different than others. There is so much mystery in that as well. All Homo sapiens are almost genetically identical, but our differences in how we experience life can sometimes be incredibly large when it comes to making meaning of the world. I find the mystery of existence a wonder, holy, awesome, incredible. I am not a mystic, but I have experienced in brief flashes an utter incomprehensible wow, just wow. I remember that while most of my life is experienced as ordinary and mundane, in fact, life is nothing of the sort. The poets tell us that, writes Rosemary Wetala Tromer in this morning's poem that Spencer read. Beneath the masks, beneath the names, beneath ideals, beneath the shoulds, is a thrumming, ecstatic, atomic swirl, unseen and omnipresent, inescapable and holy, a divine blurring of being, a realm of charge and energy. Physicists tell us that. 20th century scientist J.B.S. Haldane famously said that the universe is not only stranger than we can imagine, it is stranger than we can imagine. In the 60 years since his death, as we learn more, scientists continue to agree with him. Mystics tell us that. Alan Watts, an American Buddhist mystic, writes, "We do not come into this world. We come out of it, as leaves from a tree, as ocean waves, the universe peoples." Mirabai, a 14th century Persian mystic, wrote, "Unable to live on the earth, Mira ventured out alone into the sky. I write of that journey as becoming free as God. Don't forget love. It will bring all the madness you need to unfurl yourself across the universe." In both Unitarian Universalism's current statement describing our faith and in the new proposed statement, we say that our direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder are primary sources for our faith. We believe that everyone is capable of experiencing the mystery and wonder that take our breath away and remind us that so much is greater than ourselves and makes our lives possible. And we can respond to that with gratitude and with humility. We can be open to what is beyond us and remarkable without judgment. All will be well, said 14th century mystic Julian of Norwich. These words echo mystics across time and distance. They all tell us all will be well. I also get this message when I try to understand quantum physics and astronomy. Because the universe just keeps whirling. It's like this morning's story. It keeps coming. It keeps evolving. Energy keeps coming in and out of form. Particles speak across unfathomable distances. They dance beautifully to a music we cannot hear. And this will continue. All will be well. Existence just is. It keeps being. We are each the universe energy transforming and changing through our lives and through our deaths. All will be well. Let the mystery be. Let us rise and sing, "All Will Be Well." It's on the video.
I said, "Julie, not know? Do you not know about sorrow and Julian? Do you not know? Do you not know about pain? And I said, Julian, do you not know? Do you not know about hunger and Julian? Do you not know? Do you not know about shame? But she said, all will be well.
Several of you have mentioned to me that you miss the sharing at the end of the service, and we usually run out of time, but today we have like 2 minutes, so we have like three people can talk. So if you have a question for me about the service, or if you want to share one of your encounters with mystery, we would love to hear. And Spencer will carry the mic around, and our camera people, we're so sorry. We did not warn you. Anyone want to speak?
No questions. I just wanted to comment that I cannot think or feel or believe that everything, all will be well indefinitely.
Yep, that's a big faith. It's a big faith to have. It's true. And a lot of us struggle to hold that if we do. Because certainly everything's not well for every person all the time, for sure.
No.
Check, check, 1, 2. Check, check, 1, 2.
Well, we could just use my mic, and I'll walk around. So let me do it, because then I can talk.
I'm Ryan. This isn't Dex. Service, but in general, I've been to a bunch of different congregations around the Portland metro area, and the singing of the congregation here is like amazing, and I just love being here with that. So, thank you all.
So, anybody else have a question or comment? Okay, we got a couple over here.
I don't know if this is really mysterious exactly, but I just happened to listen to a podcast or part of a podcast about the periodic table, which is not usually something I would do. But it's so in line with this service today. Kind of mysterious.
It's totally mysterious. How does that work even?
I just think the desire of what the mystery is innate in us as human beings. I think we're born with a desire to wonder. And I think the wonder is the awesome part to step into, whatever that is.
I think that's true. Anyone else? Okay. Sharon, and then one more.
I just think of when my 12-month-old, just walking, looked across the patio and saw tulips, and he just burst out into laughter, and nobody told him to wonder about it.
Yeah, those toddlers are way wow people. Oh, did you hand it?
This just reminds me of the book Universe in a Single Atom by the Dalai Lama, that he was a great lover of science and all the things that it could explain, and he talked about all the things that it can't explain. Great book.
Thank you. Sometimes people say that science and religion are opposites somehow, which I've always been mystified by, because it seems to me like science just shows you more things to be awed about, in my mind. But, all right. So I want you to go forth in wonder and in joy, and we will extinguish our chalice, but not the love in our hearts that it carries, and not the flame of this community. And now we will rise, and the people in the front can face the back, and we will sing Carry the Flame. You can hold hands if you want to. You don't have to if you don't want to.